Good evening and welcome to another edition of Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. This week, I visit with Dick Preston, the longtime anchor at KRCG, the CBS TV affiliate in Jefferson City. He's been at the helm there in various roles for now 47 years. He's my guest tonight, talking about his memories of life in mid-Missouri, his experiences at the University of Missouri Journalism School, his advice for young journalists, and a look to the future. Dick Preston from KRCG-TV is my guest this week on KBIA's Thinking Out Loud.
I grew up in the St. Louis area, and I'm from that generation that grew up on TV. Actually, a lot of the kids my age didn't have TV until a few years later. And I watched TV news right from the beginning, in its infancy, really. And I always wanted to write as well. And I used to write in school and write stories for my friends, and I made a little newspaper that I delivered to a couple of people in the neighborhood, that kind of thing. And then I eventually became the managing editor of the high school paper. And public speaking was something that came easy for me. So it just kind of worked into that. And I knew I wanted to go to journalism school then, because from the work that I did on the paper, and came to MU.
Now, I grew up in St. Charles County, and if you're from St. Louis, the question is always, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Webster Groves High School. And my name is not Dick Preston. Well, it is, but not really. Preston is my middle name. It's Kettenbrink. And I tell everybody, they made everybody do that when I was at KTGR Radio in Columbia. It was almost like, it didn't matter what your name was, you had an air name. And so I used my middle name. I had an Uncle Preston who was my godfather. So that's how that happened.
Did you ever think about going back to Kettenbrink?
Well, I said I wasn't bright enough to change it back when I moved to a community that had three-syllable Germanic names all over the place anyway. And they don't do that kind of thing anymore for the most part. But people wouldn't know to call me. And the strange thing was, there actually is a person named Dick Preston who lives down the road here in Holt Summit. He was the city planner for Jefferson City for a while.
That's confusing.
Yeah, I got a call a couple times from, one time from his plumber, and he asked where the line was, and I told him. He said, oh, near the horse barn. And I lived in an apartment at the time, or a duplex, so I knew that wasn't me.
If you can make some statements about how you've seen the field of journalism change between when they gave you that bachelor's in journalism in February 2015.
It has changed a great deal, obviously. First of all, the immediacy, well, the equipment. Just look at the equipment for one thing. When I came here, or even at KTGR, I was the news director at KTGR in school during my senior year. That meant I directed myself, basically, because there was nobody else. I think we had another student who came in part-time every once in a while. And I had to do the 6 a.m. news, the noon news, and the 5 p.m., and I was supposed to go home in between so they didn't have to pay me more than 5 hours a day. And I was paid minimum wage. But it was great training. But I didn't have a portable tape recorder. They gave me one of those great big reel-to-reels, and I didn't cart that around too much. But that's what I had to do if I wanted an actuality.
So you were getting real journalism experience while you were still in school?
Yes, right. And, of course, we didn't have KBI at the time. KFRU was the lab school. That's where we got our training. And actually, Bob Pretty, who was on here last week, was in charge of one of the newscasts. He was a graduate student when I was in school. So I worked with Bob. And Rod Gillette, who's still in Columbia, he was my advisor, and Dr. Ed Lambert was there. So, we talked about the equipment a little bit. When I went into TV news, we all got these little wind-up Bell and Howell cameras, which we kept in our car, but you could only shoot silent film with it, and we had to develop the film by hand. So if you had a story, you weren't going to put it on before a couple of hours, because it took a while to put the film in there, and we developed it ourselves by hand, and you had to dry it, and then you had to edit it. We did very little editing, too.
Would you then have an audio recorder, and you'd sync up the sound?
The sound was on the film. Originally, it was optic film. They were just getting rid of that. We had one old camera that had, and you could see the track, actually, on the film. And then they had magnetic. We thought we were really uptown with that. But with the optic, you had to cut, 13 frames ahead of time or something to leave that on. And then you covered up what you didn't want with a piece of foil. So it was a different experience. I mean, some of the people I work with, they said, "You type with a typewriter?" Well, yes, but that was nothing compared to the other stuff that we had to do.
When did the opportunity at KRCG open up for you? When did you make the move over here?
I still worked the summer at KTGR for about 9 months, and then I heard there was an opening here, but it wasn't in news, it was in production. But it was a chance to get into TV. So I came over here and I auditioned for Lee Gordon, and it actually was a continuity writer, announcer, booth announcer. So I would actually read the IDs live on the air and make graphics. And I filled in on doing some news and sports and weather, and I actually directed some too. So everything but sweep up the floor. I think I did that a couple of times too.
You have to stay humble.
That's right. Definitely.
So it sounds like you've done just about everything here but run the station.
That's, well, yeah, pretty much.
And maybe behind the scenes.
Well, I never did sales.
And that's probably owing to your journalistic background. That's just not what you do.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I couldn't do that to save my soul.
Good evening. You're listening to 91.3 FM, KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. Each week, my colleague Darren Helwidge and I take a look at a mid-Missouri person, place, or a phenomena that deserves another look. This week, our guest is longtime KRCG anchorman Dick Preston. During our recent visit, I asked him to talk to me about some of the memories of significant news stories in his 47 years at KRCG, 53 total years in the mid-Missouri television market.
Well, the flood of 93 was a big story and affected everybody in this area. And the fact that I lived in Jefferson City and then the river flooded and the bridge was out, there were a couple of days when we had to not just cover the story, but even to get to work. We had to drive to Tipton and go back up to 70 and back around, and it was like a two-hour trip. And Kermit Miller, who was working here at the time, we knew the highway was going to go out sooner or later, it seemed. So he stayed in Jefferson City, and he sent live reports back to us. We kept the live truck over there. I'll tell you another big story was, I don't know if you're familiar with Jerry Litton, but he was running for senator, U.S. senator in the state of Missouri in 1976, and I was involved in on-the-air coverage that evening, and that was one of the standout events. It was a exciting night, and all of a sudden, here he wins the primary, and he and his whole family are killed in a plane crash.
So that
after he's, and it's just all of a sudden, it's a real downer, and you're still on the air trying to read election results, and he won that night too. But that was really hard to do.
So take us back. How do you handle a story like that where there's someone that you're excited about the story, you're caught up in the story, and then a new story becomes the story?
Well, you just have to be very honest and say this is, well, you show your expression that this is a tragedy and you're just passing it along. You're as shocked as anybody else at home is. That's one thing I've learned in broadcasting is just be honest. I've never said all you folks out there either. I watched Arthur Godfrey when I was a kid, and he was adamant in saying, you're only talking or to one person. So don't say all of you out there. the attitude should be that you're communicating with one person. And I think when you do that, you show respect for that person, for that one person that's out there. And I think that pays off. So just be honest. And the same thing goes if you have mistakes. We have mistakes all the time. You can't be in this business and worry too much about looking like a fool. If you're real pompous, then you really look like a fool. So you can try to cover a little bit, but people know when things are going wrong, and they have sympathy for you. Mm-hmm. So I'll be making a lot more mistakes and just try not to worry about it. Hope they're not serious ones.
Does the news shock you?
Some of it does. Actually, we ran a story today about banks with, losing all millions and millions of dollars. I think that story is going to be a major story. We won't have to be in a war to lose out. We have terrorists who are getting in people's personal accounts, and they could bankrupt a nation. I think that's a tremendously scary story.
So when you're sharing that story with me, the single viewer that you're talking to, how do you keep your emotions in check about that? How do you stay on script when you've got some passionate feelings about this is a significant thing?
Well, just personally, I'm not the kind of person that shows a lot of passion, I guess, really. We did have one consultant one time that was trying to get me to do hand gestures. And he says, "Tell me an exciting story." And I'd tell him one, and he said, "No, tell me a more exciting story. Tell me the time you were maddest." And he kept waiting for me to use my hands and make a big gesture, and I never did it. And he finally just rolled his eyes and says, "This isn't working." So I'm not the kind of person that really shows a lot of emotion physically, I don't think.
So 47 years is some lasting power in any industry. What did the consultants say about Dick Preston when they give you the feedback?
You know, they don't do it anymore. I think whoever it is who's been in this job this long, they figure they're not going to be able to change us, so they don't try. Because I've asked, I said, "Do you have something to tell me?" Because I went for years when nobody said anything. I ended up being my own best critic once we got videotape, and I would be able to see, and I go, "Oh, is that what I do? Or that's what I don't do? I think I'm having a pleasant look on my face, and I don't have I have to feel like I'm grinning like an idiot to have a really good smile." So they don't bother with older anchors, I don't think.
And hand gestures, we're not going to see a bunch of gestures from Dick Preston in 2015.
I don't think so. I just try to do it with the writing and the delivery.
So you rolled into town, into Columbia, about 52 years ago.
Yes. It was about 35,000 people in Columbia at the time. It was all downtown. There was really nothing else past that.
Right. No mall, no Grindstone Parkway.
No mall, no. I was there when they built the Parquet Plaza. That was like, whoa, wow. They've got a big shopping center now.
I'm sure that this is not the first time that somebody has called you a local media institution. How does that make you feel when someone talks about you as an icon or an institution? Does it inhibit your ability to just go out and do news that day?
No, it doesn't. No, I don't think so. The funny thing is, now that I do the morning news, it's a totally different beast than it was when I did. And I did the 10 o'clock news for 20-some years. You go out in the public, and you were kind of a, I don't want to say freak, but it was almost like, you know, people could stare at you, but they were kind of stayed away from you. But when I do the morning news, and the news too at noon for some extent, but people feel like they know you, and then just come up and start talking to you. And that didn't happen when I did the 10 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news.
You're more approachable now.
Right. It's a different kind of a broadcast that we show more of our personality, and they just feel, and the fact that I've been here for so many years too, mm-hmm. makes a difference too.
I would think that because of your time spent in the market, you're probably asked to do a lot of speaking, to join a lot of groups. Have you done some of that?
I do some of the. I've done some of the things with the Heart Association and the Red Cross. I host an annual Heroes event for them, and I've done a lot of trivia nights. I did that for the Jeff City High School graduation for a number of years too. And I enjoy doing those things.
Are you a member? Do you join things?
No, I haven't done too much of that.
I bet you get asked though.
Yeah, I did for service clubs, and I didn't have the time, or the hour was not right for that. I've always had kind of strange hours. When I started here, it was 4 to midnight. When I did the 10 o'clock news, I would start at 2:30 and come home at 10:30. Now I get up at 2:30 in the morning, and I'm here at 3:30 and go home at 12:30. Which seems like, how can you do that? And it's easier. I enjoy it better than when I work late, really.
What do you like about those hours?
Well, you still have the day ahead of you when you come home. And it seemed like I didn't ever get anything done when I started work at 2:30. And the day was always ahead of you in the back of my mind. And that's not the case anymore. I think as I've gotten older, I don't need as much sleep either. Because I don't take naps, and I don't really go to bed when I should, but it works out.
Yeah, to be awake at 2:30 in the morning, what time do you have to put yourself down?
Well, it's usually 8 o'clock before I really head for bed.
Mm-hmm. Away from the news world, what do you do for fun? Do you have fun?
I'm in some church activities that I don't know if you'd call that fun, though. I do a lot of outreach work with my church. My wife gave me piano lessons. We inherited a piano from my grandma. She moved to an apartment, and I used to tinker on her piano when I would visit her. So she knew that I liked a piano, so she gave it to me. And when I was, I think it was my 30th birthday, my wife got me lessons. And I took lessons for like 4 years. And I got to where I could play a little bit. But I never got to the point where I went past, like when you read and you look at a sentence, you can just see it. I never got to that point with music. It was always kind of still to the notes. But almost every day, I will sit at the piano and I'll put a CD on. And I call it banging on the piano, and I'll play along with it. And I have a pretty good, I have an ear for that, so it's a very good way for me to relax.
Good evening. You're listening to 91.3 FM, KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. This week, I'm honored to have as my guest on the program, Dick Preston. He is a longtime anchorman and news producer at KRCG-TV13, the CBS affiliate in Jefferson City. I asked him to share with me his advice for young journalists just coming out of school, as well as get his reaction to the recent controversy surrounding NBC News anchor Brian Williams. Again, here's Dick Preston.
Can you think back, going back to a previous point in the conversation, about your time at the University of Missouri, can you think back about any memories that you have of your time at Mizzou, influential people or experiences when you were a student?
Well, certainly Roger Letton and Ed Lambert were big influences. University wasn't nearly as big as it is now, but I didn't join a lot of things my first 2 years, so I didn't really almost feel like I belonged until I was in journalism school. So it was important, and I really enjoyed working out of Channel 8, doing that kind of stuff. Made some good friends.
Do you have any advice, any things you would share with student journalists now, people who might be hearing this?
I have seen a deterioration of language since I have started, and that sounds like an old person, but the writing isn't as good as it used to be. And even if Associated Press, you look at stories on there, and sometimes there'll be grammatical mistakes. This apostrophe for all these plurals just drives me nuts. That's just a picky thing. Learn how to write, I think, is very important. You can't say, oh, I'm in broadcast, so I don't need to know how to spell or write. I think you have to have the basic tools first. And I'm glad that I had to work on the Missourian at that time in J school to get that print experience. I think that was important, and I value that.
So people can learn how to write, what should they be reading? I mean, obviously you can look at your style manual, but what do you?
I don't read very many books. I like to read history myself, and biographies and things like that. I always read the newspaper when I came home from school when I was a kid. I would just spread it out on the floor and lie in my stomach and just turn the pages. And it's a little off topic, but I think I'm kind of sorry that newspapers aren't as important in most people's lives as they used to be, even though here I am in this media. But I think newspapers have a give you a sense of community you don't get anywhere else. We have community now in different ways, of course, online, but that's different.
And reading that newspaper online is not the same as reading that newspaper and getting the ink on your fingers.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just have to have the paper right there in front of me myself.
So besides the Jeff City News Tribune, and KRCG, where do you get your news from?
I do get some online. I check on there and see what's going on. I don't get a news magazine right now, but that's pretty much it. What I see on the wire at here at work.
Yeah. Tell me about the process of the internet and local news, because I go to the KRCG website mm-hmm. now, and there's content on there that I can't pick up KRCG on my TV without a cable connection in Columbia.
Okay.
But I can watch segments online.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that process a little bit in the transition. I know it's been several years now from doing this one newscast that people either see or they don't see, and transition to taking the segments of it, the elements of it, and putting it out on the web for people to view on demand.
I don't really know much about that, to tell the truth. I'm still putting the show together mm-hmm. here every day. It's wonderful that you can do that.
Because I saw a segment online that you had done at Lincoln. Do you do like select?
That was a piece that I did last fall, a sweeps piece actually. And I don't know how many people know what those are, but we have ratings 4 times a year, so that's our sweeps period. So we do some extra things there. I don't normally go out and do stories, but a lot of times for the sweeps period, I will do that.
I didn't think that was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you were out there gathering news yourself.
No, and it's good to keep those skills intact so they don't completely go away. But to be able to organize something like that and still have it, that's nice because in the old days you'd do something and you'd run it once and it would disappear and you'd never see it again. We would have a row of film up on the wall and stories that we did or tapes, and after a few years they'd get thrown away. We have history in TV stations all around the country, radio stations. You think, wow, but it's all gone. We don't save any of that stuff, really, for the most part. We had our anniversary, our 60th anniversary at the station the other day, and we're using the same video that we used for our 30th anniversary because that's all we have. Kind of recycle it.
What are some of the highlights that came up in the conversations, the memories of KRCG at 60?
Actually, that story was more about the future and how things have changed. We have a new station manager, and she was talking about how, you have to learn new segments because we're going online. We have communicate with Facebook and Twitter. Just people do that as much as anything. So And they're finding ways to use these for sales as well. So you have advertising and all these other media. So we're not just on the air. And the future broadcasting is we don't know what it is exactly. We'll be communicating, but it's how we're going to do it. We're not real sure yet.
The term I heard lately is platform agnostic for the 21st century news consumer.
Yeah,
they're going to connect with you in whatever way works for them at that moment or that day.
That's true.
So when you're gathering news, when you're considering the content for your broadcast, are you thinking about how it's going to play online or how many likes it's going to get on social media?
That does impact what we want to go and do every day. Yes, it does. And we look for things. There are certain key things that consultants will tell us, like education is a key topic that a lot of people enjoy and they're interested in. So if we see an education story that looks like it's going to be pretty interesting, we'll grab that. As far as Brian Williams, you know, I think that shows a character flaw, I think, basically. I would not be surprised if he doesn't come back. It's a matter of whether you can trust somebody like that. And it's not just that he's reading the news. He's also the managing editor. So it's a big responsibility. I think that the fact that he brings so much money into that network is why they really are kind of hesitating to see what happened. He went back and forth. That's the thing that's strange. They played one where he told the incident the way it happened, and then he embellished it, and then he went back to the original one some time later.
Right.
So it's not good.
You have seen a lot of news people come and go here. I would think that with the tendency always being to want to, like, move up, attain a higher status, a bigger market. Why do you stay at KRCG?
That's a good question. I think after, when you're somewhere for a long time, it gets really hard to move. I think that's a lot of it. And then you start doubting whether that you'd fit in anywhere else. It was more that than anything else, I think.
What do you see as the challenge in the next year to 3 years for you at KRCG or in this industry?
Oh, well, the industry is easier than for me. since everything has gone like to Facebook and online, the viewers a lot of times will be aware, sometimes they're aware of a story before you are, especially if it's in their neighborhood. They see a fire truck, they see a police car, they want to know what's going on right then. And they call us up, or they'll, you know, communicate some way, what's going on in this neighborhood. That's a help. But at the same time, a lot of times somebody will mention something, and it gets just like when you, the little game, you whispered in another ear and it goes around in a circle, and by the time it gets back to the, it's a totally different story. We have that problem all the time. Somebody says, oh, well, they said on Facebook such and such happened, you know. And you spend your time trying to find out if there's any truth in that story. So a lot of times you're just running up a solid, you know, a brick wall. But that's a different aspect that we didn't have to do before.
That was Dick Preston. He was my guest this week on Thinking Out Loud here on KBIA. I thank him for his time. You can listen to past episodes of Thinking Out Loud on our website, kbia.org. Just click on Programs. That's where you'll find the archives for past episodes of this program. For Darren Helwidge, I'm Trevor Harris. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week.